What a beautiful day we are having. The birds are singing, the sun's shining, school's over. There's nothing to complain about, right? Hold on to that thought because I have a challenge for you. As you walked into the sanctuary today, you would have been given a rubber band with the words God Grown written on it. The rubber band is part of a challenge that you might want to partake in this summer. It's up to you. Before we get into that, I have to ask, has anyone here heard about the complaint-free bracelets? Well, recently I read a news article about a pastor from Missouri, a Reverend Bowen from Christ Church Unity, who challenged the worshipers of his church to quit complaining as a way to lead a life of health, prosperity, happiness, and peace of mind. He used a complaint-free bracelet to get them on their path. You know, when I told Pastor Bill about this complaint-free bracelet, I incorrectly told him that it was a pastor from Ohio. And he said, good things come from Ohio. And then afterwards I realized I said the wrong state. And I said, it's actually a pastor from Missouri. And he said, close enough. Reverend Bowen used a combination of the Word of God, positive thinking, and a motivational tool to get him and his congregation on the path of being complaint-free. So here's the motivational tool, a rubber band. Here's how it works. You wear the rubber band on your wrist, and you go about your day without complaining. Now, if you find yourself complaining, you have to move the rubber band to the other wrist. The sheer action of moving the rubber band from one wrist to the other is to remind yourself that you have complained. This action will make you stop and realize you have complained. And the more you make this realization, the more attuned you become of yourself. And hopefully, you'll find that yourself catching yourself just before a complaint comes about. Here's the aim: to have the rubber band on one wrist for the entire day. Now, in order for it to start being a lifelong change, it's said that you need to keep the rubber band on one wrist for 21 days straight. That means you haven't complained for 21 days. Now, what's so magical about 21 days? Research in psychology have found that it takes 21 days for us to change our behavior and to adapt a new habit. So, I took this rubber band that was wrapped around a fresh bunch of celery and started my complaint-free challenge. Now, interestingly, on my rubber band, it said, organically grown. I found this had a poignant meaning, which I will share with you later. Now, getting back to the challenge, to be honest with you, I thought this challenge would be easy. I didn't see myself as a complainer. I didn't think I had much to complain about. I soon realized that that was a little egotistical on my part. The first day I woke up, I went to brush my teeth. I ran out of toothpaste. I complained. I moved the rubber band. I then went to get change, and I found a hole in my sock. I grumbled. Moved the rubber band. And then I made the vital mistake of getting in my car. I complained so much while I was driving that it was almost a hazard to be moving my rubber band from one wrist to the other and driving. A person cut me off. I got a red light at every stop sign. A person drove too slow, too fast. Finding parking at Valley Produce, need I say any more? Boy, that rubber band was moving from one wrist to the other on that first day, and at the end of that first day, I felt like I had failed this challenge. What surprised me is that I did not realize how much I complained. It was like what the rubber band said. Complaining was organically grown in me. I complained. Complaining was a part of my day, and I didn't think I was a complainer. I did it without thinking. It was organic. Prior to the first day, if he had said to me, Shalomi, do you have anything to complain about? The answer would have been no. I would say I was grateful. However, this challenge to be complaint-free showed me otherwise. And though I felt I didn't succeed that first day, I became aware of my complaining, and I was humbled. I got reminded of the Israelites that were led from Egypt by Moses to the promised land, as we heard in our first reading. They complained so much during their journey that they had a place, they had places named in memory of their complaining. Of course, a mass exodus of people from one land to another, a journey that took their entire lives, isn't an easy course of action. But had these people that Moses was trying to liberate fallen into a habit of complaining? Had they missed the fact that every day they were free, they were no longer slaves? Had they missed the fact that in those years of hardship, God was with them, living with them in the moment? In that similar vein, do we complain substantially enough that we can name a place or erect a monument of our complaints? Do we forget we are free? Do we forget that God loves and lives with us? Do we forget to live in that moment? Now, before I go any further, we need to clarify the type of complaining I'm talking about. The type of complaining we're addressing here is not the big issues. The complaining I'm talking about is those minor irritants that get in our way, that linger for a while, but once we're over it, we move along. Those day-to-day complaining we do like Moses' Israelites. Let's make it clear. The Bible tells us when we're facing hardship, there is a time to mourn and to cry. God will hear that always. We're not addressing that. What we're addressing here is the grumbling we do on a daily basis. So why do we complain? For some of us to complain, it's seen as a way to express we have no control. We are losing our power. Sometimes we complain as we feel it's the only way we will get heard. But there are consequences to this complaining. We start to think that the world is against us. We start isolating ourselves and separating ourselves from God and from one another. We stop noticing that God is with us and within each of us. We begin not to trust God. There is no trust gained in the act of complaining. When the Israelites complained, they feared God will not come through with his promise. Complaining breeds fear, sadness, mistrust, discontentment with yourself, with each other, and with God. The analogy I would like to make of complaining is when the hand of God is stretched out to grab you and give you a helping hand, do you complain, thus missing the opportunity to feel secure in God's love, or do you hold on with all your might? Complaining draws all its essence from negativity. Where's God in that? When we complain, we send out a vibe that says, man, that stinks. That separates us from God and others. Also, have you noticed when you're focusing your intention on what's going wrong, you're going to get more of what you're complaining about? When you get that red light and you complain about it, you always get that red light. When you say, I got out of the wrong side of the bed today, those thoughts somehow bring about you having a bad day. When we complain, we fall into a rut that perpetuates issues and things to complain about. Now, going back to the rest of my challenge, as I said, the first day wasn't easy. I realized I was a complainer. The next few days, I started to consciously catch myself before I started to complain. To be conscious of my words and actions was actually tedious. My head felt heavy with this new consciousness. But then as the days progressed, I started to feel an ease. And an awareness developed that was like peeling back the layers of an onion. And there were 6 things I became aware of. The first awareness was the conscious choice of my words and actions. The second was, what did I want to complain about? Was it significant? As the saying goes, you have to pick your battles. And for most of the time, the battles and complaints that I was making, I could work through them. The third was that I started to feel empathy. And I sat in the traffic and saw the person in front of me didn't move as soon as that light turned green. I started to empathize with that person, how I had done that, and started to give that person a little slack. The fourth layer of awareness was the most significant. I started to notice the nice things people were doing for one another around me. For instance, at the grocery store, a person in a checkout line gave up their turn for a person behind them because they had fewer items to check out. I noticed a child picking a flower and giving it to their friend. I heard laughter come through my window as 2 friends walked and talked past my house. When I went bike riding with my sons, it started to drizzle softly. And instead of getting anxious about getting wet, I just let the rain fall on us and absorb that smell of the earth. Last week, Pastor Bill asked us to do three things. He asked us to smile with God when we're with our coworkers, smile with God when we're with our spouses and family, and to smile with God when we have a quiet time for ourselves. And that's exactly what this fourth layer of awareness, of noticing the kindness around us was about. Could things get any better than that? They did. When we stop complaining, we start feeling gratitude for all the beauty around us, for these warm days, the beautiful showers that naturally water our gardens, for sunrises that you see on your way to work, to moon slivers late at night, for warm smiles you notice on people and the joy of little children. And from here, a connection with God materializes. My son Dominic is 3 years old, and one of his loves is his tricycle. When he comes home from preschool, the first thing he does after putting his backpack away is to go right back outside and get on that tricycle. And we go for a 20-minute walk. And along the way, he'll point out all the stop signs and tell me how cute the flowers are. And he has to say hola to everyone he meets along the way. And usually his unexpected greeting makes people say hola and smile back. But when someone doesn't respond, he hunts them down. He turns his tricycle around, he calls out hola to them even louder, and he tries to make eye contact with them. When I see this, I realize that I am watching him looking at people with God. I can see that him making that gratitude connection and seeing the love in someone else. In our second reading today, we heard about Bartimaeus, a man that had no sight. Bartimaeus could hear the commotion that Jesus and his disciples were coming down the street, and he calls out to Jesus to heal him. Bartimaeus tries to get Jesus' attention, but people around him tell him to be quiet, shush up, which makes him shout even louder for Jesus to help him. We get the sense of Bartimaeus' urgency and passion to be heard by Jesus. Finally, Jesus calls him over. He flings off his cloak, he jumps to his feet, and he tries to approach Jesus. Now, what Jesus says to this man, who he notices is blind, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's a curious question. Could Jesus not notice that this man is blind? What is Jesus really asking here? And actually, this is a very deep question. He's asking Bartimaeus for validation, a commitment of his faith in God. Bartimaeus responds, "Rabbi, I want to see." And then Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." This story can be taken literally as a man whose sight was restored by Jesus. But I feel there is a more metaphorical meaning here. And it can be related to our challenge to live a complaint-free life. That cloak that Bartimaeus flings away as he jumps to his feet can represent whatever that is in our life that is holding us down from living a God-grown life. That cloak can symbolize our grumblings and our complaining we do on a daily basis that eventually wears us down spiritually. Like Bartimaeus, in order to live a God-grown life, we need to throw that cloak aside, jump up and say, "God, I want to see. I want to be aware of God around me and see God in my fellow human being." When that cloak of grumbling and complaints is thrown away, we open ourselves to gratitude, God's grace, and living in love with the people around us. In our private life, gratitude counters complaint, despair, and cynicism. In our relationship, gratitude and appreciation for those we love helps deepen our commitment and ease our disappointments. In society, gratitude is a foundational part of civility, helping us balance our desire to acquire with recognition how much we have been given. This is when we start living a God-grown life. With love and gratitude in our hearts, we unlock the fullness of life. Gratitude turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of a past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. From here, grace can enter into our lives. At the beginning, I mentioned that there were, on this complaint-free challenge, that I found myself having six awarenesses, and it was like peeling back the layers of an onion. It made me see that we need to be conscious of our words and expression. Pick our battles. Is it worth the complaint? We need to start to feel more empathetic. Notice things people do for each other and be inspired by that. We need to feel more gratitude and finally see God in others. I would like to show you a video clip that I think best illustrates these six awarenesses, which show people living a God-grown life, and all of these six awarenesses coming to a fruition. Clip, we see people helping one another. But what really catches my eye is that the people watching these good deeds are inspired to do the same. When we reach out to someone, help them, empathize with them, make that eye contact, we make a connection with them that undeniably says, I see God in you and I care about you. It brings in an attitude of gratefulness, of appreciating your neighbor, your coworker, even a stranger on the street. And you'll never know who's watching, as others will be inspired to do the same. Because being in an attitude of gratitude, love, and living in the grace of God in our hearts is infectious. It's time for us to throw that cloak of complaining that holds us down and start living with God in our hearts. Remember, I told you I used a rubber band wrapped around a bunch of celery to start my complaint-free challenge. I said that the rubber band had the words organically grown written on it. I said at the beginning that I felt complaining was a habit. It was organic. Through this challenge, I started to change my perspective, to change my thinking of the people around us. By peeling back the layers of awareness, I began to change from being organically grown to being God grown. And this journey has to continue for the rest of our lives. This summer, I invite you all to take this challenge and to become God grown. If you wish, you can use the rubber bands given to you at the beginning of the service as a tool. Wear them. If you find yourself complaining, move the rubber band from one wrist to the other. Experience this journey. And find those awarenesses awakening you. Start being conscious of your words and actions. Pick your battles. Start being more empathetic. Notice the good things people do around you. Be inspired, and most importantly, see God in others. The aim is to be God-grown for life. Amen.